You are listening to WSLR LP 96.5 FM in Sarasota and WBPV 100.1 FM in Bradenton.
This is show 71 of our Changing Environment. The previous show was Melody Matrix with DJ Neil.
I'm Julie Morris.
I'm John O'Miller, and the show is being recorded and broadcast on October 14th.
Today we're going to be talking with Judy Burns, president of the Uplands Neighborhood, a well-defined but mostly hidden neighborhood in northwest Sarasota and southwest Manatee County.
The views and opinions expressed by hosts, guests, and callers on WSLR programs are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of WSLR, its staff, or volunteers.
Judy, let's start by helping our listeners understand what and where the Uplands neighborhood is.
Sure, and thank you so much for the opportunity to speak about the Uplands. We all appreciate it, all the neighbors do. Where is the Uplands? It is a small, historic waterfront subdivision spanning Manatee and Sarasota counties and the city of Sarasota, a small portion in the city. That means that we have three governmental entities to navigate. That's a lot. So if you look at it, it's a rectangle, and we have some interesting property owners next to us. We have to the east the Sarasota Manatee Airport, Bradenton Airport. To the south, we have New College of Florida. And to the north, we have the USF Sarasota Manatee campus. So we have these fairly substantial property owners next to us, neighbors. And we are bounded by US 41 to the east and then Sarasota Bay to the west. So it's such an interesting neighborhood because we have really defined boundaries, which really helps us keep this neighborhood very connected. There are about 110 residents there, homes. Not residents, but homes. And it really has allowed us with small streets to get to know each other. And it's a great community. And the other interesting thing about the community, interesting feature, is that we have Lake Uplands, which is pretty much in the middle of mostly Sarasota County, but a bit in Manatee. And it's a spring-fed, platted lake venting to the bay. And it's just wonderful for bird watching and wildlife.
It's a neighborhood that is not next to any other neighborhood. It's just like an island, and it's special that way. You don't find places like that. Most neighborhoods seem like they're next to the adjoining neighborhood, and that's not happening here.
Yeah, and the Uplands neighborhood is in both Sarasota and Manatee counties, is that right?
Yes.
But mm-hmm. It's not in the city of Sarasota.
There is a small portion of the Uplands subdivision that is in the city boundaries, and it is the sort of southeast quadrant. So we have a small portion that is in the city of Sarasota as well. Yeah.
So the whole neighborhood is about 44 acres. And most of the lot sizes vary, but the most typical lot is a little less than a third of an acre, and there's no lot that's bigger than an acre. And I guess it started to be developed, what, in the 40s?
Yes. You can go back to, the homesteading days in the mid-1800s when we had our first resident that came in. And I believe Edwards, and there's history there. So from the 1840s, and if you fast forward a bit to the it was platted in 1895, but then you can fast forward to the boom time. You know, that's when the Ringlings were coming and the Palmers, and so the shoreline, the Sarasota Bay shoreline, started to get developed. And people started to come. People started to notice it. And I'd say by the mid-40s is when we had our first developers of the neighborhood come in. It was two husband and wife teams who came in, and they called our subdivision the Uplands. And so there you go, from the 1940s. And So the bayfront was a really significant part of this development. They hoped to develop the bayfront as well, but they never did. Then as the founders, one founder, you know, of their corporation left, and the others, Augustine and Virginia Theory, decided as they were getting older and getting up there in age that they weren't developing. They decided not to develop the bayfront, and eventually they gave it to New College.
Right. So here we have a situation of the college biting the hand that fed it. Here, a generous donation of all this land. It's close to 10 acres between the subdivided part of the neighborhood and the bay. And so it's basically everything from what most people would think of as the New College campus up to what people would think of as the Crosley Museum. And the idea that you could move into a neighborhood and have a 10-acre park on Sarasota Bay that no one else, you know, and the public could use it, but there's no real parking. And so it's almost like it was in the past tense, almost like having a private 10-acre park on Sarasota Bay.
Yeah, very unique, very special. And in fact, when the Theories gave the property to New College, it was with the intention that it would stay a preserve and that the residents would always have access to it. That was the intention.
Uh-huh.
And we've always respected it. The neighbors, you know, there are neighbors we've had that have been there for 40 to 50 years. Great stories. And it's always been respected. It's always been used. And we always hoped that it would stay, that intention would be respected for forever.
So just to backtrack on two points. One, I was looking at the 1948 aerials, and there are no structures visible except Zinn's restaurant was either being built or had just been built in 1948, but otherwise no structures. And then you can tell us, why is it called the Uplands?
Well, the Uplands happens to be the highest elevation in the city of Sarasota, which means we don't have to be quite as concerned about flooding. We have to be. But that's one reason that the neighborhood is so desirable, because we are elevated. And if you go back in time, we know there was an Indian mound that was near our lake. Artifacts were found, and it would make sense that they were looking for a place that was somewhat elevated. There was fresh water coming, you know, where the lake is now, and of course, ample food at the bay. So this neighborhood has this great history to it as well. But we're elevated, and you can really feel when it rains, there is a nice, there's a slope to the bay, and you feel it. You feel that, even walking it, you can feel as somewhat of a slope. So yeah, it's a nice feature of the neighborhood as well.
And what we've concluded is that it was historically a mixture of scrubby flatwoods and then this wetland system before it was dredged out to form a lake. It was probably a seep that would flow a lot in the rainy season. So what we think what's going on is that US 41 was run along a high ridge, probably a Pleistocene sand dune or some previous shoreline, but with very porous soil if it had been a sandy shoreline. And so rain that would fall in that upland area would soak into the ground and then move laterally to the west. And that lateral movement through the superficial aquifer would be expressed in this seep. And the same thing basically happened at the Jungle Gardens. They have ponds at the Jungle Gardens that were excavated, but were previously would have been wetlands where water would just ooze out of the ground.
WSLR Fogartyville's Fall Membership Drive, it starts tomorrow, October 15th. And it extends through the 21st. Our theme is Hear It Here, because Sarasota's community energy is alive right here with local music, independent news, and cultural connection. Become a member now and be part of the dynamic season ahead, including more than 120 Fogartyville concerts. Hear It Here. and the 9th annual Big Mama's Collard Green Festival, a cultural food festival celebrating community, heritage, and healthy Southern cuisine, will take place on Saturday, October 18th, from noon until 6 p.m. at the Robert L. Taylor Community Complex in Sarasota. This family-friendly event will feature Cajun, Creole, Southern, and Caribbean cultures, as well as live music and a collard green cook-off. More information is available at newtownnation.com or by phone at 941-822-6581. And our guest today is Judy Burns, who is the president of the Uplands neighborhood, a well-defined but mostly hidden neighborhood in northwest Sarasota and southwest Manatee County.
So, Julie, we'll be back next week with Rebecca Acosta, since we share this time slot with the Healthy Living Hour.
Yeah.
And that'll be the last day of the membership drive, right?
Right.
So if people want to beat the crowds and get ahead of the curve, they could start thinking about supporting this show or other shows. And how would they do that? How would people go online to support the station?
Yeah, there's a big donate button on the WSLR website, and then you would scroll down to
whatever shows.
Whatever, public affairs.
Yeah.
Public affairs and news.
Right.
And then there's a drop-down menu that appears that shows our changing environment. And
right.
You can dedicate that. Or the Healthy Living Hour. You can dedicate
right.
that to...
Or Kathy and Tuna's The Detail. There's so many great shows that we have and unique content that you're not going to find elsewhere in Sarasota.
Okay, back to the Uplands.
Yes. Thank you again for having us. And let me just say, you know, I am president of Uplands Association as of very recently. So there's a lot of learning that's happening here. In fact, there's a lot of firsts. You know, first time on the radio show, and first time actually having a front row seat to a takeover makeover of a public liberal arts school. That's a first. So I still have a lot to learn. You know, my neighborhood, I call it my neighborhood, is just full of wonderful, smart people. It's very diverse. And what I do as president of the Uplands Association couldn't happen without the team of people on the board and also the neighbors. There's a lot of contribution. So that, again, is just to say that this is a real community. And because people have, if you don't mind, I'd love to read a quote. You know, people have been, you know, living there for 40, 50 years. And they all sound somewhat similar to me when they were talking about, you know, how they love the neighborhood. One neighbor said, "I used to drive around this neighborhood when looking for property. What drew my attention to it is that it is located in a peaceful, dead-end cul-de-sac neighborhood. We have treasured living here for almost 50 years. We've raised our family and now enjoyed our retirement and visits from our grandchildren. The preserve holds special memories for all of us." And we'll get to this. And she says, "And we were astonished when out of nowhere the trees started coming down on the preserve." So this is, you know, somebody who lives across from the preserve who loved it. Her daughter also said, "I grew up roaming the bayfront of New College. I was raised to love the nature around us, hugging every tree as I walked our dog with my mom. Most cherished to me, though, is the tree on the water with a little peeping hole in it. I'd go climb it whenever I was upset or just needed a breath of fresh air. I call it the wisdom tree. New College has already cut down so many beautiful trees that housed all sorts of native animals, and it brings me so much sadness thinking of how much more destruction they can bring if they continue developing on the preserve." Those are just two quotes that from neighbors who have lived here for a long time, and I'll have others. But what strikes me is how everybody felt this connection to this natural area on the shoreline. I would say you don't find that maybe you and John or Julie know what if there's another stretch like this in Sarasota County where and Manatee where there's this stretch of just natural land left. It's just precious.
Well, and one of the writers brought up an important point. You have to go to the Uplands deliberately. It's not on the way to anything. It's right. Not like you're going to be driving around randomly and cruise through. You have to make a deliberate. It's like Key West. You have to decide to go there. You're not going to end up randomly. So, yeah, it's very special in that regard.
So the trees that were removed by New College to create a temporary soccer field numbered 60 palms, 7 pines, and the DBH of the pines ranged from 39 inches down to 26 inches. And there were 4 oaks removed, and the DBH of those were from 42 inches to 24 inches.
Now, is that just the Uplands, or did it also include the area where the...
No, this was just the Uplands.
Okay, so the area where the beach volleyball went in was another whole decimation.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and this would have been in the May of 24?
No, it was...
Yeah, it was.
It was in May of 2024.
That's why I suggested mm-hmm. that.
Okay.
So
it was...
Go ahead.
I can only say shocking and heartbreaking to have no notice that these bulldozers were coming in to clear cut almost 2 acres of land. It was absolutely shocking to everybody. We tried to stop it. There was a stop work order. The city was contacted. There was a stop work order for 24 hours. The city couldn't stop it. It's considered state land. And it just kept continuing. We watched tree after tree come down, trucks loading up the dead, or not the dead, the branches, the limbs, the trunks of the trees, and removing them. It was so heartbreaking to watch. We eventually, and this will never come back. I mean, what right. happened is it's gone. It's yeah. like you mentioned, the age of the trees, what was there, it will never come back. So for those who have lived here for a long time, and I didn't, I've only lived in the Uplands 5 years, it was completely shocking for them. And so I do think that there's a precedent that's been set. No notice, this encroachment into the Uplands Preserve, and trust has been lost with New College. We're just very worried that more encroachment will happen, and we can get into that based on what we saw on the draft master plan.
Well, I think it's fair to call this as a betrayal. We had the original situation you mentioned where the people that developed the subdivision deliberately gave this valuable 9 acres of bayfront property. You can imagine what that would be worth today. Gave that to New College with the understanding that it would be left as a preserve. And then in 2005, there was a memorandum of agreement between New College and USF. And one of the provisions of that agreement was effective October 1st, 2005, NCF and USF Sarasota Manatee will submit space inventory files. Let's see if this is the right blah, blah, blah. Somewhere in here, it basically says that it has to be left for passive recreation. It can't be active recreation. So active recreation is when you have sports and teams and you've got a field and it's all organized. So if somebody had wanted to go out in the open portion of the Uplands and play frisbee, they could do that. But that would be considered passive. But once you have organized sports and teams, that's a violation of that. And then, in addition to those two documents, we had the adopted 2016 campus master plan that said this was going to be a preserve. So there were three pretty clear, a record of, throughout time, of a commitment to leaving this as it is and not taking these trees down. And then, as you say, without any warning, New College started removing them and was not interested in taking a break to talk this thing out and find these documents and clarify issues. They just blew past the agreement with USF and blew past the adopted master plan. So,
and we tried to get the State Division of Historic Resources involved, and it sounds like they only cared about buildings. They didn't care about trees.
Yeah, apparently with the National Register Historic District, there are contributing structures and then there's other stuff. And I think it's possible that in some situations a landscape would be considered a contributing feature. But when the property was nominated, the trees. So you have to think about this. When the Ringlings and the Crosleys were building these incredible bayfront mansions, they were incredibly wealthy. They could have landscaped this property to look like Versailles with really tight hedges and take all the native vegetation out and replace it with whatever the heck they wanted. Now, they brought some banyan trees up from Fort Myers, and you know they added things, but they left an incredible number of the native palms and the native oaks and native pines deliberately because they could have just removed them. And so between the landscape that they left and these other structures, so we have, what was the name of the wall?
Edith Ringling Wall.
So there was a wall separating the Uplands Boulevard, which runs parallel to the bay, from the actual Uplands property, and that was removed relatively recently.
Well, yeah, there were two stages of removal. Right. One was when they started taking the trees out, they removed the wall. So that section was gone. It was... It defined the preserve. You knew it was unique. You knew it was historic. It was something people would sit on the wall, neighbors would sit on the wall while their kids played. It was just this particular feature, again, of the preserve that you knew made it special, unique. It was part of Sarasota history, and it's gone. That was May of 2024. And then just this summer in July, the final section of the Edith Ringling Wall came down. It was demoed, and that was a shock as well. We had no idea they were coming in to take the final section down. So, again, we're working with a pretty powerful neighbor who also happens to be a property owner in the Uplands subdivision. So we've always had this very cordial relationship with New College up until about 2 years ago. We always felt connected and welcome on campus, and it feels different now. We used to all walk on this whole section of preserve, and now people even are reluctant to walk onto New College campus. They feel as though they're not as welcome anymore. And so it's changed. The wall has changed. The feeling of the park and the preserve is changing because with a soccer field there now, it's just an amazingly bizarre place for a soccer field. With the soccer field there now, you feel like it's campus coming in. It's not nature.
Right.
And it's different. Yeah.
And just to keep the record complete, there was a third insult, which is before they tore the wall down, they went to the trouble of repainting it. So
correct.
Previously it had been what we might call Ringling pink. So for some reason, the Ringlings had an affinity for pink. It may have been the pink Etowah marble from Georgia that the College Hall or the Charles Ringling Mansion was built of. But if you come down into the Indian Beach Sapphire Shores neighborhood, they would add a pink pigment to the sidewalks. So we have some pink sidewalks. So the wall was painted sort of I'm not great on color, sort of an old bubblegum, faded bubblegum pink.
Mm-hmm.
And before they tore the wall down, they took the time and expense to actually repaint it white and sort of erase that Ringling aspect of the wall.
Right. It's little bit by little bit.
Yeah.
We see these changes, and that's where the trust that we had with New College has changed. We want it back. We want collaboration and a cordial relationship.
Yeah. The Lieberman voters of Manatee County will hold a Unite and Rise for Democracy rally on Saturday, November 1st from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Rossi Park on the Riverwalk in Bradenton. The rally will include music, food trucks, booths, and inspirational speakers. More information is available at LVWManatee.org.
It's not the league. It's not LWV.
It's LVW.
Oof.
LVW.
That's hard to believe. That's not a typo. But so that would be League Voter Women.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, people have to experiment with that. So we've talked a little bit about the insults and the impacts to the Bayfront. We can come back to that, but we don't want to lose sight of the fact you're contending with other issues. So you have an issue to the north with 9 acres that Manatee County gave to the college, and then you have a new park of Pat Neal and his wife who gave money for a so-called park up near 41. So what do you want to talk about first?
Well, let's say that we'll go to the Pat Neal Park.
Okay.
That construction, again, began with no notice.
Right.
We did know, and we were given, President Corcoran had given us indication a while ago that money that Pat Neal had donated a considerable sum to build that park. So we did know that. But with no notice, all of a sudden, here come, you know, they're taking out the batting cages, they're removing more turf that they had planted, and they're putting in new turf, and that took a good portion of the summer to put the Pat Neal Park together. We don't know how it's to be used at this point in time. We have not seen any activity there.
It's hard to believe people are going to use it for a number of reasons. First of all, it's next to a police station, so that would inhibit some people. Secondly, it's next to an airport at the end of a runway, which would inhibit other people. It's remote from all other parts of campus. I mean, it's not close to where students are taking classes or living. And they designed a, I mean, if you think about parks in Sarasota, what are you looking for in a park? You would like some shade. So instead of planting trees that produce copious amounts of shade, they planted royal palms. And these royal palms have the capacity to grow so tall that they will intersect an imaginary plane that extends from the end of the runway. And that anything above that plane, the FAA gets to have their say about. And so when these trees grow to their mature height, they will either have to be dug up and removed or cut down because they'll be violating. this is an example of a college project that, as far as we know, had no real input from students, no real input from faculty, no real input from the neighborhood. Nobody said, here's a draft design. What do you all think about it? This was a fait accompli. People just came in and installed this thing. And so I'm not surprised that we're not seeing people using it. And I'm sure you can lure people. I mean, if they start handing out food or money, people will show up. But the idea that people are just going to naturally congregate between an airport runway and a police station just seems unlikely to me.
You are listening to WSLR LP 96.5 FM in Sarasota and WBPV 100.1 FM in Bradenton. And our guest today is Judy Burns, president of the Uplands neighborhood, a well-defined but mostly hidden neighborhood in northwest Sarasota and southwest Manatee County.
Yes, and I agree with the Pat Neal Park. It's there's just, at this moment, no shade.
Right.
Tree canopy is so important in many people's lives. It's a place, it's shelter. You gather. You naturally just go to an area where you're going to see trees and nature. Right now, the park doesn't offer that, and I can't speak to what it will be used for. Yeah.
So there's a berm associated with the park that has increased flooding in the eastern part of the Uplands
yes.
neighborhood.
Yeah, it was, I haven't lived in the neighborhood a long time, but when they were actually expanding campus, and I know the police station was, it actually is entered on from College Drive, but the other side of the police station is in our neighborhood on Parkview. I don't know if that's the front or the back of the police station.
It's the back of
the police station.
But there was an agreement with the neighborhood that we would try to maintain the northern side, the neighborhood side of the police station, as looking more like a residence and less like a police station. Like it seemed like the sensitive thing to do would be try to keep it blending in with the neighborhood and not sticking out.
Correct, yeah. Well, in order to have a police station, for the police station and for these connections to happen, they did build a berm, which it's been there for a while, and it's changed some of the drainage issues that we've had in our neighborhood. There's just parking lots that are on the eastern side of boundary of our neighborhood that will fill with water. And when it rains a lot, that water, because of our slope, will come into the backyards of neighbors. And that's an issue that we are addressing with the county, asking them to look at just some of our stormwater drainage issues. And there's a few of them. There's a few based on some of the clearing and issues related to the soccer field and removing the wall.
And this is it's a blessing to have high elevation, but when you have high elevation next to the bay and a neighborhood that was developed starting in the 40s, there was no thought given to stormwater management. So now we're going to have a fertilized playing field immediately adjacent to the bay, and whatever they're putting on that in terms of fertilizer or biocides, we could expect that material is going to end up in the bay as well.
We've noticed, stormwater management is an important issue. It's very critical. And, if your listeners know that, New College has a draft master plan that we found out about in July with not a lot of notice, basically no notice. And so your listeners may know there is a draft master plan. The draft master plan does address stormwater drainage issues, but we feel that it's lacking when it comes to the Uplands neighborhood and our swale systems. We have seen more flooding now that the soccer field is there, and there have been walls removed, and even the swales. There was a fill put into a swale so that construction vehicles could get onto the preserve to remove part of the wall this summer. And that's changed the contour and the depth of the swales. So we have to have the county come out and take a look at that, because that's a Sarasota County issue.
Go ahead, John.
I just want to say one of the exciting things about participating in the membership drive is when the studio door opens and someone hands in a card. I just got a card that says, Alicia Harper just made a $25 pledge for your show. So this is, as far as I know, our first pledge for our changing environment. So thank you, Alicia.
And so there's other stormwater issues as well, right? It's the Uplands Lake is the primary drainage feature for the neighborhood. And it goes, there's a culvert under Uplands Boulevard, and then it meanders out to Sarasota Bay.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, the lake is a very important feature for stormwater management. And I like to tell everybody, it is platted to the bay. It's a natural flow of water that vents to the bay. So it has to be maintained. So any building that might happen on the preserve, or if there is some plan for that to happen, you cannot interrupt the flow of that water that goes to the bay. And so we noticed in the master plan that it is not addressed. The drainage issue from Lake Uplands to the bay is not addressed. And that's something we do have to make sure New College of Florida understands and the Sarasota County understands. The swales are also really, really important, because there's a swale that runs east-west on the southern side of our subdivision. And then at the southern terminus of Uplands Boulevard, this water goes right to the north-south swale, and it all makes its way to the bay. So any disruption in the swale system causes flooding on Uplands Boulevard, and we've seen it and have some photos of some of ankle-deep water at the southern terminus, even a little more than ankle-deep, at the southern terminus. And then when the swale was filled this summer, we had rain the next day, and there it was, you know, the water was getting pushed onto Uplands Boulevard. And there was some remediation done, but we do want to make sure that there is more work done on these swales. It's important to the drainage system for this entire neighborhood.
And what we're seeing from the plan that's being proposed is the college seems to be interested in speeding water to the bay rather than slowing it down. So that's something to watch for.
After last year's hurricanes, the soccer field is somewhat elevated from the rest of the preserve. It is elevated. So we have photos and videos of the storm surge coming in, moving north and flooding the part of the preserve first, not the soccer field, but the part of the preserve that is lower because, you know, water is going to go to the lowest point. So the soccer field, now that it's elevated, is pushing water elsewhere. And at the same time, that soccer field did flood, and you could see the rack line about three-quarters of a way up on the soccer field. Conceivably, we know this is not the last time it's going to happen. There's
right.
more flooding.
Right.
Yeah.
So should we switch to the 9-acre parcel?
Yeah.
So one really surprising thing that happened is that there was a nearly 9-acre parcel that was owned by Manatee County and valued by the Manatee County property appraiser at over $2 million. And they just gave it to New College, even though it has no connection to New College physical, and it is contiguous with the USF property.
Yes.
So go figure.
Yes, here again, shoreline.
Yeah.
It's considered I've heard a bird sanctuary. There's a lot of rookeries, bird rookeries there. I just marvel at what is happening right now. People understand there's not a lot of shoreline left, and thinking that more shoreline is going to be, you know, we're going to be removing more trees and changing just this natural habitat in Florida is just astounding to me. And the idea is that they will be putting a 100,000 square foot Freedom Institute there, and another building called, I believe it's called the Meditation Center?
Yeah, it's sort of like a glassy chapel.
Yeah. So again, there's going to be more stormwater drainage issues that are going to be needed. Infrastructure, all of that is really in Manatee County. And it's a special place, too.
Yeah.
I'm sure Manatee County does know about it. And I will see how far, you know, go ahead.
What if Sarasota County had 9 acres and said they were going to give it to an institution in Manatee County? You would think there would be someone would speak up. I mean, you would think Manatee County has a fiduciary responsibility. If they wanted to sell it to the college, that would be one thing. But to just give it outright is crazy. And so you mentioned the plan for this Freedom Center. If you look at the proposal in the draft master plan, I would say, well, first of all, right now it's 100% covered with vegetation, trees. There's no open field or anything there. I would say 90% of that is going to be gone. It's either going to be building, parking lot, or grass when you look at their image. The Freedom Institute is projected to be 125,850 square feet. That's 2.8 acres. And if that's hard to visualize, City Hall, City Hall for the city of Sarasota, you would think of as a pretty big building. It's 40,000 square feet, so this would be three times the size of City Hall. It's an enormous building. And so it's just crazy to think that it's ill-defined as to exactly what's supposed to happen there. But that's tremendous. And then this other building, which is very glassy, if you were to put it in the trees, if you were to nestle it in the trees, you could sit in this sort of chapel-like structure and feel like you were communing with nature. But all the projections I've seen have it out in the open. And so when you put essentially a greenhouse out in the sun, it's either going to be a nightmare to cool or just be a really hot and unwelcome kind of space.
And potentially a lot of taxpayer money to clean the windows every day. Right on the shoreline.
Yeah.
And there's a subdivision just north of this Freedom Center on the 9 acres, and you're trying to get them involved in the campus master plan. Is that right?
Correct. We've met with the president of the Ballantyne neighborhood and another individual on the board, and talked to them as well about this very unique piece of 9 acres that they also have access to. And so another interesting thing about this master plan is that there are over 40 coordinating entities that are listed that are to have input and to be reviewing entities of the plan. Well, some of us in the neighborhood and myself have started calling the coordinating entities to find out. We want to know, did you receive the plan? We want to make sure our voice is heard as well. Please let us meet with you, talk to you. Some of them that we've called didn't even know they were a coordinating entity or that there was a master plan. So here we have in the master plan a list of coordinating entities, and we're all to have, we understand, some input on the plan, but some of them don't even know that they're a coordinating entity. So Manatee County is actually not listed as a coordinating entity. They're not there. So we contacted them to say, you know, you should look at the master plan, see what is going on in that 9 acres, because it is part of your neighborhood.
Well, and it's a lot of it is mapped by Sarasota County as a coastal high hazard area. And I think there's policies in the master plan saying we're not going to develop in the coastal high hazard area. So all these ideas for an elaborate Freedom Institute in this chapel. And I want to go back just because it's so hard to visualize this 125,000 square feet. If you think about Sarasota's downtown library, you have this parking lot, which is a pretty good sized parking lot, and then you have the actual library, which is a pretty good sized building. That's 25,000 feet less than this single building they're proposing to put on this property. And then there's a lot of, we haven't talked about it, and there may be a change, but there's the question of how New College is supposed to access this 9 acres since it's not contiguous.
So Karen Stack has contributed at the friend level membership, and she says, thank you, WSLR, for helping us save the Uplands.
Well, thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Karen. Support. Great neighbor. She is part of our team.
So we're getting near the
Community Radio is Sarasota's independent voice. WSLR in Fogartyville amplifies local musicians, trains young journalists, and provides space for civic dialogue. That's what Hear It Here means. Support the community's energy during our fall membership drive. October 15th starts tomorrow through the 21st, because the best of Sarasota, you hear it here.
So we've talked about the attack you're experiencing on the west. We've talked about the threat on the north and the impact on the east. And we're starting to run out of time. Maybe you could go over what the Neighborhoods Association's main concerns are and what specifically you're asking for.
Yes, yeah. Main concerns, well, we already addressed the stormwater issue and drainage. And, okay, quickly, the flawed process, the flawed master plan process. We have not been involved. You know, the master plan has not involved real stakeholders. There seems to be, and I've asked, there's no committees. The past people who have been involved in master plan design have not been asked back. There is just this flawed process where we don't know who is actually doing, planning the master plan. And there's poor notice about meetings and a lack of, you know, neighborhood involvement. That's huge, this flawed process. There's inaccurate information that we find in the master plan with the boundaries misrepresented, that part of Uplands Boulevard looks like it's part of the new college property, but it is not. So we're dealing with coordinating entities looking at a master plan that has incorrect boundaries. Why is that out there being reviewed by city, state, local officials? We don't understand. There's a traffic threat. There is some in the master plan, it shows that there's going to be a road opening from our neighborhood, Uplands Boulevard, to campus. There's no explanation as to why that's needed, but that is a huge issue for us. Opening the road to proposed traffic is huge. There's no traffic right now that comes through. Our streets are narrow. You can't park on them. We walk this neighborhood. Everybody there, it's just used. You know, it's like a cul-de-sac. So having traffic come through is just a huge issue.
And you probably have a very elaborate sidewalk neighborhood, sidewalk system.
Oh, yes. You know, it was so designed with sidewalks and safety issues. Yeah. We're not dealing with a designed neighborhood, you know, that people are designing today for walkability. It is walkable, but it's walkable the way it is right now. It's wonderful. And finally, it's this stated, like a permanent performance platform in the preserve directly north of the soccer field. And I just don't know, none of us understand why there could be a performance platform in the preserve. It's not compatible with the neighborhood. There's still parking issues. Where's the infrastructure? Light, sound, bathrooms. So that is also being proposed. So we do have these concerns about road, another structure coming into the preserve, this flawed process. They're just huge in stormwater. So every neighborhood should always be taking a look at what might be impacting them. And we hope the community cares, you know, that this is a shoreline. And we all know that New College was looking to take over Ringling Museum and the USF campus, this incredible bayfront area of Sarasota and into Manatee County. It is worth protecting. It's a legacy. And I think that's something I hope the community thinks about. It isn't just about the Uplands neighborhood. It is this incredible bayfront that is theirs as well. So
if past is prologue, this performance platform may just show up one day, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why we ask about it. Could we see the design?
Yeah.
What does it look like?
What does it do?
It's just, we don't have that ready yet.
Yeah.
Well, I was told by President Corcoran that it would be a permanent performance platform, very beautiful, historic, in a VE flood zone in my mind. I can't understand how we could put any other structure there. We're concerned about tree removal. You can stand in water on that preserve sometimes. It's just what happens. That's what it was meant for. It collects water. It goes out to the bay. So we're very concerned about that.
Now, some of the houses in the Upland Uplands neighborhood are in the VE zone or the AE zone, and a number of them are in evacuation zones A and B. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it does slope down towards the bay. So the closer you get to the bay, the views start increasing as the risk starts increasing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, luckily, last year, nobody flooded.
Oh, that's great.
We had no house along Uplands Boulevard flooded. So, remarkably, this elevation, this wonderful feature we have has protected us. So that's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. So what are you asking for?
We are asking for New College to invite us into the official planning process. We are affected parties. We want to be invited. We don't want to just be told. We get these polite acknowledgments that they hear us and they will say, oh, we won't build in the preserve. Don't worry. But that actions speak louder than words. We've watched it. And so now we want to be part of the official planning process. We also want stop all construction and tree removal in the Uplands Preserve. That, just let the preserve conserve the preserve. It is worth conserving. A traffic study. Do an independent traffic study. If you're trying to open up the road to traffic, we need an official traffic study. Also, we want an environmental and resilience review. Come in. Take a look at this environment. If you're changing anything, mangroves are affected. We want an environmental review. And the stormwater. We want the county to come in and look at stormwater management for us. And I think another really big thing is we're just calling on the community, local leaders, planning officials, to really look at this preserve and the bayfront and to protect it. It stretches this. It's a long stretch of bayfront. Protect it. Don't. It will never come back if it changes.
Yeah, and it's already changed quite a bit.
Yes.
A lot of that tree loss was significant, and it was, as I said, you know, the prior trustees had specifically adopted a plan showing that as a preserve area. And
that's the current plan, is that right?
Yeah, the current existing plan, and yet the current trustees apparently have no allegiance to what's currently adopted, and they're not requiring the administration to come to the trustees. You know, what they could have done or should have done is said, we want to do something that's contrary to what the trustees have told us to do in the existing plan. So before we do that, we're going to come back to the current trustees and propose an amendment. And here's what we want to change. We want to cut down all these trees, and we want to put in a field, and we want this performance platform, and blah, blah, blah. And then the trustees would say, oh, okay, you know, we're the new guys in town. We don't care. Do whatever you want. But at least it would have gone through a process, and there would have been a public hearing. But instead, things just change on campus with no real input and no warning.
Correct. So, Judy, are you and your sister Sue both alums of New College?
Yes, we are. So,
and when did you attend?
Yeah, I came in late 70s, I think 1976, and it changed my life. I'm the daughter of a roofer, basically, okay? He became a successful roofing contractor. Mm-hmm. And a wonderful homemaker mom. Mm-hmm. And I got lucky, really wonderful parents. Through a very odd connection to going to another college, and Chris Janer was president at the time of this college where I went, and he told me about New College because I said, I'm not coming back to your school. I need to go somewhere else. And he said, what are you looking for? And I started to tell him, and he said, well, I used to be president of New College. I think that's where you're headed. Mm-hmm. It changed my life. I could never profess to be the person who knew what I wanted to do when I got there. I did not. It was just this idea that I was confronted with this, oh my gosh, this is critical thinking. This is debate. This is exploration. It was just an amazing, it changed my life. It was amazing, and it stays with me to this day. So, yes, I ended up, going to New College, and then my sister joined me as well. We both went to New College and have this affinity with it. It's just a special, the New College is a special school.
So you were the leader? You got there first?
Actually, no.
Okay.
We transferred at the same time.
Okay.
You know, we're twins, right?
All right.
So we transferred at the same time. And after that, we didn't live together anymore for 4 years.
So much for the...
We knew we had to go our own ways in some way, right?
The twin stereotype. Huh?
Yeah. Well, we're only 3 miles apart from each other now, okay. Which is delightful.
Right. But no matching outfits.
Oh, thank God. No. It's hard enough. People still see me and think I'm Susan because, you know, she's lived here forever. Yeah. She has more of a presence.
Yeah. Okay. So... is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners about the Uplands?
But quickly, because we have to move into
right,
the
outro. Right. Yeah. I invite people to come look at this bayfront. Come see it. And I also say, and someone told me, be a warrior. And I thought, well, I never thought I was at war, but be a warrior for your community. It is worth fighting for a wonderful community. And we are unified. That's the beautiful thing. small community. We're unified. And so I encourage anybody who's, you know, involved with their neighborhood associations to do that, to stay unified.
I guess I start here. You've been listening to our Changing Environment on listener-sponsored WSLR LP Radio, 96.5 FM, broadcasting from our downtown Sarasota studios on Kumquat Court. You can also hear our show on WBPV LP Radio 100.1 Bradenton, or listen online.
Today's show, number 71, featured Judy Burns talking about the Uplands neighborhood in Northwest Sarasota.
The views and opinions expressed by hosts, guests, and callers on WSLR programs are their own, do not necessarily reflect those of WSLR, its staff, or volunteers.
Previous shows of Our Changing Environment may be accessed at WSLR Archives. Go to archive.wslr.org.
If you'd like to be notified about upcoming shows, you can join the Facebook group, Our Changing Environment.
Tune in at 9 next week for a special membership drive show featuring both the Healthy Living Hour with Rebecca Acosta and Our Changing Environment as we learn about water quality in the city of Sarasota.
And once again, we want to thank Alicia Harper and Karen Stack for their contributions. Tune in at 9, 2 weeks from today on a... What would be our next show, Joe?
It's October 28th.
October 28th, okay, for the next episode of Our Changing Environment, which will feature Andrew Hudson talking about Eat Local Week.
If you're, and tune in at 9 a.m., if you're interested in local public affairs, tune in every Thursday at 9 a.m. for The Detail, hosted by Kathy Antunes.
And don't forget to check out the live music, public affairs, and other special events at Fogartyville on Lemon Lane, just 6 blocks north of Main Street here in Sarasota.
Right now, stay tuned from Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! At 10 o'clock.
Our theme music is Vicky's Vamp, composed and performed by John Lambie. Performed by John Lambie.